Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is recorded for us in the prophet Amos, the 8th chapter. Amos had a lot of hard words for the people of Israel, who at this present time were living really in an extremely prosperous era, and they had plenty of wealth that wasn't really well distributed. And Amos calls them to repentance because not only has their wealth blinded them to the needs of others, it has also blinded them to their need for Yahweh. Hear this. You who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is recorded for us in Paul's letter to Timothy, the first letter to Timothy, the second chapter. Paul is writing to Timothy as his son in the ministry, and it's a very practical letter that's written to him, especially about things that should be taught and how to guide God's people in holy living. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed, as a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands, without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet, she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand as we join in the triple Alleluia on page 190. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, And charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager." And the manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Well, grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our parable this morning from Luke's Gospel, we hear of a manager who has been accused of wasting, even squandering his master's possessions, giving up 50 measures of oil there, 20 measures of wheat. Oh, it's terrible. See, he's doing this because he's been fired. He's doing this because now he has to turn in the books, and he's trying to figure out how to get things to go for him. He's doing this to ensure that when he's canned or thrown in prison for what he has done, at least he'll have somebody who will come and visit him, take care of him, someone who will look after him when this all falls through. And this makes sense. He's shrewd. He knows what he's doing. This man knows what needs to be done. But how did the manager respond? How did the master respond when he found out what his manager's been up to? I mean, he didn't blow his lid. He didn't go postal and throw his manager in prison anyway. He commended him. He said, "Attaboy, good job, well done." That seems a little odd, doesn't it? But we can make sense of this. See, for if these accounts were in collections, at least something would be collected in the end. I mean, something truly is better than nothing. It's like a clearance sale at Walmart, where you have the opportunity to get a good product for a cheap price, and Walmart at least gets something for their troubles. And if the customer likes it, they'll come back again and again and again. Now, that's being shrewd. But in the process of doing all this, this manager makes his master look good to his other debtors. And that's being wise. See, the world gets this, Jesus says. You see, on the other hand, it's the church that has the problem. See, it's those churchy Pharisees that were accusing Jesus of mismanaging God's kingdom. I mean, last week, they thought that Jesus was not honoring God's name because he was sitting and enjoying time with tax collectors, with sinners, the undesirables of society. And they think that he's just wasting God's stuff by giving it away, giving salvation to people who don't deserve it. I mean, these tax collectors, these sinners owe a huge debt to God, and they should pay for it. I mean, they should really clean themselves up, change their ways, or they're going to get what's coming to them. Maybe the Pharisees, just speculating, maybe the Pharisees had verses like the one we heard in Amos in mind, where we hear the end of our reading there, that where God swore, "I will never forget any of their deeds." And Amos tells us exactly what those deeds were at that time. At a time where people were supposed to be coming together in worship, spending time honoring their Lord, they're sitting there thinking about all their activities, the regular life, the regular days, getting what's going to be like going back to the rest of the week while worshiping God. You see, they were taking advantage of those in need to enrich themselves, to bolster themselves up, to make themselves look good. They made the ephah small and the shekel great. They were really all for giving less and charging you more for it. Similar to when going to buy a bag of chips, and now you pay for less chips, more air. And to think that shrinkflation is a new concept. These people were using scales and to their advantage. They were rigged, they were tipped, ensuring that they would be taken care of, even if it meant robbing others blind. And as we hear from Amos, God was not pleased with his people. God was not pleased with their actions. And now we hear from Amos where God said, "I will not forget their deeds." But it seems as if Jesus didn't get the same memo. It seems as if Jesus didn't hear the same word of God as Amos did. Otherwise, he wouldn't be giving away all of God's mercy, love, and forgiveness. I mean, you can almost hear the Pharisees say to him, "God doesn't forget, Jesus. Maybe you should change your ways and remember that." But what about you? Do you think God forgets your sins? I mean, you don't forget, do you? You don't forget about those who have wronged you, those who've sinned against you, those who've gossiped about you, who've hurt you, who betrayed you, took advantage of you. You want to make them pay. You want them to pay what they owe. But what about us as a church? I mean, do we do this too? I mean, do we really want the bad sinners, the criminals, the ex-cons, the liars, the cheaters, the adulterers? Do we really want those people here at St. John's? Are they welcome? I mean, respectable sinners, well, like us, great, wonderful. Bring them in, come on down. We'll take them. But the really bad ones? I don't know. Maybe they clean themselves up first. Maybe they change their ways. But do we really want them to be known in town for that congregation, for that kind of congregation that takes in these bad sinners? Do we really want others to think of us in that way? Or are we so stingy with God's mercy, love, and forgiveness? See, if you and I do that, I want you to remember the words from Amos. "I will not forget their deeds." Not the deeds of those people out there, not your deeds, nor mine. You see, the world knows how to handle this kind of wealth. But the church, not so much. Because the manager, what he did in this parable, is exactly what we're supposed to do. Not the embezzlement part, the other part. Because that's what Jesus was doing. Where he was giving away exactly what these Pharisees didn't want to do. And this is what vexed them so much. Because Jesus was running around taking the bills of these sinners, these tax collectors, and tearing them up. Throwing them away, getting rid of them completely. As if he was writing zero on them, forgiving them, paid in full. But not only that, Jesus now has the audacity to tell this parable so that the Pharisees know exactly what he is doing. And that what exactly he is doing right now, he's being commended for it by his Father. So that every time a sinner, a tax collector, a prostitute, a thief, a murderer, an adulterer, or any kind of criminal out there is forgiven. Every time that happens, Jesus gets an attaboy. Good job. Well done. And this is exactly what his Father wants. What about that verse in Amos? I mean, hasn't Jesus heard this? Yes, Jesus has heard this verse. Jesus has learned what is said in Amos. The Lord does not forget any sin, not even one. And that's actually good news. For if the Lord forgot your sin, how do you know that he won't find it or remember it later? It's like that bill you get for your water. You end up putting it on your desk and end up forgetting about it until you look and clean your desk and find out, ooh, not only do I have to pay the bill, I have to pay the late fees, the incurred interest. What if sin was like that? Forgotten now, but only to come back and bite us in the end on the last day, on the day of judgment. So no, the Lord doesn't forget your sins, not even one. Instead, our God deals with them, all of them, every single sin. Jesus takes your debt, everything that you owe, to the cross and pays for it with his blood. So that your debt, it isn't forgotten. It's atoned for. It is washed away. All that you owed, all that you had to pay, has been paid by him. And so now, when you are baptized, Jesus takes that bill of sin and writes on it, zero, forgiven, paid in full. And since he doesn't forget any sin, you can be sure that every sin is paid for. And the resurrection of our Lord proves just that, that there is no sin left in this world that can hold Jesus in the grave anymore. And the Pharisees don't like that. And unfortunately, there are people in this world who don't like that either. And there are times when we don't like that. It's those times when we get hurt, when we've been cheated, taken advantage of. See, forgiveness can't be that easy. Someone has to pay. But who said forgiveness is that easy? And who says that someone has not already paid for it? I mean, when you feel that way or think that way, I want you to take a hard look at the cross of our Lord and think what he has done for you, what he has done for all of us. Paying the price in full. for every single sin. It wasn't easy, but that is who our God is. And that is his love for you, for all people, even for those who have sinned against you, who have sinned against me. It is for them just the same. That is why we get to hear these wonderful words as Paul writes to Timothy, and we heard in our reading, that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And especially this truth, that our Savior has canceled all and every debt. And what does Paul say? That there is one God, one Master, one Mediator, one Manager between God and man. And that is Christ Jesus, our Lord, who gave himself up as a ransom, a payment for all of us. And this is why we hear Paul say, "For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, to preach the good news of canceled debts, a teacher of the Gentiles, of the sinners, the tax collectors, the outsiders, they're not good enough, and in faith and in truth." That this good news is for them. And if it's for them, then it is for you just the same. So come. Come with the debt that you've accumulated this week. How you put yourself before God. How you've dishonored his name, ignored his word, fall short in your prayers, have rebelled against his authority, have hurt others in your thought, words, and deeds. How you've lusted after other things that were not yours. You've stolen, cheated, lied, gossiped, coveted, or were angry at God for what he did or did not do on your behalf. Come and bring it all, the whole bill, and hear how the manager, your Lord, your Savior, your brother, Jesus Christ, takes it and writes zero. I forgive you all your sins. And as you head home here today, what about those who owe you or who have wronged you this week? Will you demand payment from them? Or will you take their bill and write zero, forgiven? Cover the sin and debt with the same love, the same mercy, the same forgiveness that covers your sin, your debt. And if we do that with forgiveness, how much more with our things? Don't hold on to it. Is it really worth that much anyways? I mean, we cannot serve God and money. Give it away. It's only stuff. Indeed, God will give us more. Now, and while the world might think this is crazy, the Pharisees might think Jesus is just nuts, the Father says to you, attaboy, good job, well done. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.